It is Friday, January 24th, 2014, and from the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
Ahead on Ozarks, the initial payment to insurance carriers in relation to the state's private option is in the mail today. And the band SX Rex will explain their name and play two songs inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
First, lawmakers and officials with state health agencies continue to meet for updates on the rollout of the private option in preparation for voting next month on whether or not to reauthorize funds for the program. In yesterday's joint meeting of the Public Health, Welfare, and Labor Committees, legislators wanted to know if projections are still being met nearly a month into coverage. Arkansas's Surgeon General, Joe Thompson, says newly issued coverage is working.
Providers are seeing individuals hitting their doors that are with new coverage. And anecdotally, we are seeing individuals have significant clinical conditions be addressed that historically were not addressed and that would have been potential catastrophes that would have hit as uninsured, uncompensated costs on the rest of the healthcare system. So I think the intent of your passage a year ago is starting to unfold in the clinical delivery system.
DHS Director John Selig agreed with Thompson, saying private option premiums of $467 a month, paid in full with federal funds for 3 years, are meeting the DHS calculations. We'll have more on that meeting in a few minutes on Ozarks at Large.
Meanwhile, Governor Beebe says if lawmakers decide to drop the state's private option for expanded Medicaid coverage, they'll have to decide what to cut to bridge that budget shortfall. The governor appeared last night on AETN's Arkansans Ask program, and he says Arkansas' system has become a model for similar private option expansions in other states.
Not doing this, since we're paying for it anyway, is like telling Washington, D.C., don't send us any of our gas tax money back. Our roads are fine. Send our money to California. That's why all these Republican states that didn't want to do this originally are now trying to do what Arkansas did. We've had Iowa and Ohio and Michigan do it. Now Pennsylvania's talking about doing it. Florida, Tennessee's talking about doing it. Arizona's done it. All these Republican governors, they're going to pay for it. Why are they going to hurt their own people?
Beebe said the budget shortfall is compounded by a tax cut set to take effect July 1st. A tax cut originally based on expected revenue created because of the private option.
All of that's predicated on the fact that you've got that money from the private option to pay for that. If you don't have that money, what are you going to do? Are you going to repeal those tax cuts? I don't think so. If you don't repeal the tax cuts and you don't do the private option, continue where it is now, then you've got an $86 million hole in the budget that you've got to fix.
Opponents of the private option often cite one problem with the program as extremely low reimbursement rates to physician specialists by big insurance providers like Blue Cross Blue Shield. Beebe said last night he's very optimistic that problem will soon be fixed.
The bounds of development in downtown Bentonville are expected to spread in the coming years after the city's planning commission earlier this week approved a master plan for the southeast downtown area. Troy Galloway, Bentonville Planning Services Director, says the master plan grew out of a scarcity of space for further development in the roughly 5-block area surrounding the central downtown square.
The University of Arkansas is releasing figures today connected to early fundraising totals for the current fiscal year. According to the U of A, the university raised more than $62.6 million as of December 31st. That represents 58% of the university's fiscal year fundraising goal of $108 million. This marks the fifth year in a row that the university has raised more than half of its fundraising goal by the end of December, or halfway through the fiscal year.
The National Weather Service in Tulsa this morning upgraded the red flag fire watch that the office issued yesterday for Northwest Arkansas until 8 tonight. Benton, Carroll, Washington, and Madison counties are under a red flag fire warning. According to the Weather Service, strong and gusty southwesterly winds of up to 35 miles per hour will combine with relative humidity values as low as 15% and abundant dry fuels to cause dangerous wildfire conditions throughout the afternoon.
Mostly clear tonight with lows from 28 in northwest Arkansas to 25 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, expect sunny skies with highs from 50 in northwest Arkansas to 54 in the Arkansas River Valley. Clear tomorrow night with lows around 29 degrees.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers news, business, politics, culture, and more for our region. Happy Friday to you, Mr. Tilley.
Yes, well, happy Friday to you. It's a beautiful morning. A little chilly, but a beautiful morning.
Yes, and I think it's going to be a pretty good weekend. You and I have not talked for a couple of weeks, and it seems money makes the world go round. Just about everything we're going to talk about this morning in some way deals with cash.
Cash, cash, cash. My favorite Christmas gift.
Let's start, in Crawford County, where county officials for a fourth time are going to ask residents to help them pay for a new jail.
Yeah, you know, talk about a tough spot. Crawford County Judge John Hall and the sheriff there, Ron Brown. I mean, the jail, several decades old, under capacity, and they're having to send inmates off, and they're asking for a $20 million new facility. It'll be a half-cent sales tax. And, you know, the catch is Van Buren just passed a sales tax increase. So in two cities, in Alma and Van Buren, you could have a sales tax rate of 10%, which would be one of the highest sales tax rates, not just in Arkansas, but the nation. So that gives you some idea of the sales job that Judge Hall and Sheriff Brown have to convince the voters. And I think the voters know that it's needed. There's no
right question
that that's a new facility is needed. It's just, is this the way you want to? And there aren't many options. I mean, there's property tax, you know, this. I don't know if they could talk the legislature out of money, but there aren't many options. And one of the things that I'm sure Judge Hall and the sheriff will tell the voters is that if we don't do this, we'll end up spending $200,000, $250,000 a year to house inmates in other counties. So, you know, where do you want to spend your money?
And, of course, the other problem is this topping out at 10%. You talk to municipal authorities and county judges and mayors, they'll tell you that once you get to 10%, you can forget about ever getting anything else passed.
Yeah, it's just kind of it's a hurdle, and it's just obstacle. Now, we talked to Jackie Crutch, who's the director of the Van Buren Chamber, and, you know, she said from a job recruitment, a lot of companies, they look at, you know, property tax rates, workforce, you know, quality of local education. The sales tax rate is not always a factor, so she didn't think it would hurt from a job recruitment. But, you know, if you're in the area and you know that you can buy a lot of your back to school, of course, they have sales tax breaks. But if you're going to be buying a lot, 10% versus 8.5 or 7.5 somewhere else, that is a mental hurdle to get over.
One big hurdle for the state of Arkansas to get over the past half dozen years or so was the real estate bubble. It appears that recovery is happening.
Well, yes, you know, the CityWire, our Arkansas home sales report, we look at the home sales in Arkansas's four largest metro areas, Central Arkansas, Northwest, Fort Smith, and the Jonesboro area, counts for about 70 to 75% of home sales. And what our numbers show is that in 2013, the number of homes sold in those four markets was up almost 13%. And home sales were up in all four markets, and you had values that were up. The average price of the home is up almost 2%. So, and the values were up considerably, up to almost $3.5 billion, and that was up 15%. So I think, last year the market showed it was a good year last year, but this year is a better year. And I think it's safe to say, Lord, I'm no economist, but I think it's safe to say that, you know, after a 2006, 2007 housing bubble, I think Arkansas's real estate market is finally back on its feet, you know, 6 or 7 years later, and it gives you some idea of the punch to the gut that housing bubble was.
And still fragile, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, we'll have interest rate issues as the Fed begins pulling back on tapering, and if the economy is doing better, those could be a couple of things that could drive interest rates higher, and that could, create some headwind for the market. But what we're hearing from the real estate community around the state is that the January activity didn't slow, so it's continuing into 2014.
Fort Smith School District looking at some real estate around Chaffee Crossing, possibly a third high school for Fort Smith Schools?
Well, possibly. It's going to be interesting. It's maybe a year and a half or 2 years out before the school district pulls the trigger on a millage question to fund this. And there is emerging some thinking in Fort Smith that it's not that they're against education or they don't think that they understand that the school district needs to expand, but I think there are some folks who say, okay, but what's the best way to expand? Is a third high school, is that the best way? Is there maybe some type of special, you know, STEM school or arts? You know, let's look at some innovative options. So I think this conversation is going to get interesting in the next few months.
And then eventually, if that determination is made to go for a third high school, then you go to voters at some point.
Yes, and, you know, hopefully, well, we'll see if Fort Smith school leaders take lessons from the Bentonville Public School District. And, you know, I think there was some, I think the first round they were, I've heard some critics say they wanted the Taj Mahal, but then they pared it back and it eventually passed. So we'll see if there are any lessons learned from that experience.
CityWire.com used the Power of Freedom of Information Act this past week and a half to find out more about cost estimates for this water park coming,
supposedly,
coming
we'll
to Western Arkansas.
I can tell you, one of the things we discovered was that there was an email. The city of Fort Smith brought in a consultant to talk about some amenities. Well, what the city of Fort Smith didn't, for whatever reason, and this they're getting some hits for this, but for whatever reason, this consultant also said, you know, I don't think you need that $10.9 million to build this. If you're going to spend $10.9 million, I think you can build more. And this is a guy that's been in the business for 25, 30 years. He's not just some, you know, Joe consultant who just showed up. And it really fed into what a lot of people are concerned about is, you know, because this cost has just escalated from $8 million to $8.8 million and then up close to $11 million. So just about the time it looked like both sides are approved, this email drops, and it has a lot of Quorum Court members and city board members who are very unhappy with the city and the county leadership in terms of they just don't think they're being given all the information. And I'm not going to say this is connected, but Tuesday night, one of the Fort Smith board members called for an earlier in the schedule than normal performance evaluation of City Administrator Ray Gossick. And again, maybe it was just coincidental that was called as this revelation came out, but there are some unhappy folks on the city board and the Sebastian County Quorum Court.
Turn publisher of the CityWire.com that covers business, politics, and much more for the region. Michael, thank you very much.
All right, have a good weekend, Kyle.
The first payment to insurance carriers for the state's private option plan, which uses federal Medicaid funds to purchase private insurance, is being sent today. Jacob Kaufman from our content partner KUAR was at yesterday's meeting of state legislators evaluating the plan's rollout.
Members of the Public Health, Welfare, and Labor Committees met to get the most recent updates on the insurance program designed to provide coverage to nearly 250,000 low-income residents. These updates and continued questions are being pursued in the lead-up to the legislature's decision next month on whether or not to reauthorize funds for the program. State health officials said cost projections are on track so far. Republican Charlotte Douglas of ALMA asked Andy Allison of DHS about the private option's effect on cost throughout the insurance marketplace.
So you would anticipate that possibly our actuaries, after we get all this in and we have a younger population and we feel like they may be healthier, that maybe our premiums will go down?
That's precisely my hope.
Arkansas Surgeon General Joe Thompson followed up on Allison's answer.
It's more than a hope. It's a logical extension of having younger people in the risk pool decreases your health burden and will cause over time you to have less of a death spiral on premium cost, which is what many employers found themselves in before we underwent the payment improvement and the insurance expansion effort that we're in the middle of right now.
Earlier this week, the Arkansas Chamber of Commerce shared a report arguing failing to reauthorize funds for the program would mean an extra burden for businesses, costing between $27 and $40 million. Officials say without the private options coverage, businesses would have to cover those making between 100 and 138% of poverty when the employer mandate of the Affordable Care Act begins in 2015. Republican Jane English of North Little Rock was incredulous businesses would desire to pass the burden.
I find it very hard to believe that business people throughout the state of Arkansas would actually say, I don't want to have to provide insurance and follow those mandates and pay these costs. I would rather have my employees go on the private option so I don't have to pay those costs, which is going to save businesses here in the state of Arkansas $38 million. I find that very hard to believe.
English's colleague from Rogers, Cecile Bledsoe, partially dismissed concerns of business, saying it might be the case the mandate is removed altogether. State health officials, as in the past, are saying they expect and plan around the continuation of most provisions of the Affordable Care Act. As of last report, supporters of the private option are one vote shy of the three-quarters threshold needed to reauthorize funds in the state Senate. Proponents of the plan lost one vote in a special election in Jonesboro, and since then, Republican Missy Irvin of Mountain View has said reductions in compensation to some specialists has made her withdraw her support. Irvin remained quiet yesterday, but Senator Jason Rapert voiced her concerns.
As you know, several members have been surprised by the 15% reduction in payouts to specialist doctors.
Rapert continued, pressing health officials present before the committee.
This is one issue where you know you're losing support, and I encourage you to either fix it or give us some kind of reason that will allay some of our fears.
Surgeon General Thompson responded, saying it's not his place to defend or comment extensively on a carrier's contracting decision with a provider, but in his opinion, it's a step away from fee-for-service models and towards rewarding follow-up care. Throughout the meeting, it was clear state health officials stand by the successes of the private option and the accuracy of their predictions. Most lawmakers aren't contesting figures, but a critical few are expressing continued doubts as the deadline to reauthorize approaches. In Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman.
In about 13 minutes on Ozarks, how SX Rex came up with the band's name.
And that was the beginning of that. The original name for the band was Sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah. We, for months after that, I was like, we need to find a serious name. I'd always be like, band meeting, like, we need a name, and like...
We decided to shorten it.
The three brothers who make up SX Rex talk and provide some music from inside our studio. That's ahead on this Friday edition of Ozarks at Large.
Dr. Lonnie Smith is one of the jazz masters of the Hammond B3 organ. This Friday on Shades of Jazz, I'll feature an exclusive interview with the good doctor. He talks about his early roots in the music growing up in Buffalo and how the church influenced him, playing with people like George Benson and Marvin Gaye. And I'll feature a healthy dose of his music as well. That's this Friday at 10 p.m. on Shades of Jazz.
It is Friday, January 24th, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Football.
Yes.
Almost over.
Not a topic that I generally address. But I just read a really interesting story.
Okay.
It was in What's Up, I must say. About a gentleman named Mike Looney who remembers clearly sitting in front of a black and white TV in a freezing duplex in Lubbock, Texas, watching the University of Arkansas, University of Texas football game.
Don't tell me 1969.
I'm going to tell you 1969.
Why do we keep talking about this?
It's heartbreaking.
Wait, what happened?
Well, Arkansas lost to Texas 15-14.
It was a clip.
Oh. What does that mean?
It was a clip. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know what that means.
That means it should have been a foul, but it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
I'm not sure it was a clip. It was close, but go ahead.
Granted that even in Arkansas, it's late to bring this up.
Mm.
Even in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Looney has made a documentary film about it.
Oh.
Called The Big Shootout, and it will show this evening at the Eureka Springs Indie Film Fest.
All kidding aside, it was a tremendously important football game, not just because it determined who won the national championship, not just because Richard Nixon was here to watch it, but because of where we were as a country and a region in race relations, in all sorts
of things.
Vietnam War, yes. And what Fayetteville was going through at the time. There had been a shooting that week on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous subject.
And all of that is included in the film, not just the football game. He interviewed 41 people, including players, coaches, members of the Nixon administration, because President Nixon was there, and gave the national title to Texas.
In the dressing room.
There were civil rights protesters and war protesters that he interviewed. And apparently it's the only interview Frank Broyles has ever given about the game.
Wow.
So since filming, according to him, they've lost three of the important central players.
Daryl Royal.
Daryl Royal, Beano Cook at ABC.
Right.
And James Street, who was the Texas quarterback.
And a heck of an athlete.
And so if you, too, are interested in this still, it will be shown at 7 o'clock tonight at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium. It's $10 for one day to the film festival. Festival continues tomorrow. And it's apparently still a hot topic.
Also, the University of Arkansas band, it was a standard practice that you would play. They would play Dixie.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. It was the first time they hadn't in years. That was a big controversy. They never have played it since. Fascinating story. Future President George Bush was at that game as well, a congressman at the time from Texas.
And again, it's a football movie I'd actually like to see. So yeah, that should tell you something if you know me. Also this weekend, a little topic that might be kind of close to my heart. An event called Walk a Mile in My Shoes Sale.
I'm hoping to make it this year.
It's a shoe sale. It's a shoe sale to benefit Ozark Guidance. It's donated shoes. Lots of them are like new. Shoes for everybody. Donated handbags. $10 for adult size. Children's shoes for $5. And a designer corner for $20 an item. And they're talking designer stuff.
And I know we're talking about, you and I are women and we're talking about shoes, but there are also men's shoes available.
Yes, yes. And I saw unhappy men there in the past. You know, they don't want shoes. Anyway, it's 2 to 6 today and 8 to 1 tomorrow. Don't be late. Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. You can find out more at ozarkguidance.org. This weekend is also the Ozark Mountain Music Fest in Eureka Springs. All sorts of great bands, including the Hog Scalders, the Ben Miller Band, and Three Penny Acre. Concerts start tonight and continue through noontime on Sunday, all at the Basin Park Hotel.
You would never have to leave the building if you did not want to.
Oh, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
And you'd be warm.
You can be in your room. You can go downstairs. You don't even have to have shoes.
Three-day passes are $45. OzarkMountainMusicFestival.com. Another topic close to my heart, Saturday's Lay Chocolate Feast.
Also hoping to make it to that.
It's a benefit for breast cancer survivors through the Pink Divas of Northwest Arkansas and Arkansas Reeling and Healing. You go through a huge selection of chocolate and fill your box.
Is that how? Okay, I've never actually been in. I was wondering how it works.
Oh, no, you get like a cake box.
Uh-huh, and I get to fill it?
And you get to fill it.
And take it with me?
Yes.
Awesome.
You could fill it and eat it there, but I don't think you'd feel well afterward.
So it's
we
like
could try and find out.
You get to make your own Whitman sampler, basically.
Yes, yes, with all sorts of things, from cupcakes to chocolate candy.
And only the ones you like.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's amazing. It happens from 10 to 3 Saturday at the Northwest Arkansas Mall in Fayetteville, and it's $10 for adults. And on Saturday, if you can still waddle in your new shoes, you can go out to Hobbs State Park and hear the first of this year's speaker series with Susan Young talking about Down by the Old Mill Stream.
Grist mills, right?
Yes. Should be a lot of fun. You could take walking shoes, walk off a little chocolate, clutch your other shoes to your heart as you go.
Talk
it's a
about,
great plan.
Talk about the music and movies you've seen and heard.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Conferences are organized in a variety of fields to give people the opportunity to learn more about a specific subject. If you're into technology, a local tech conference is returning to Fayetteville next week. NWA Tech Fest 2014 will take place January 31st at the University of Arkansas Global Campus. The last conference occurred in August of 2012. Once again, Mark Brandon is the director of the steering committee for the event. He says the conference, which will be the fourth Tech Fest located in the region, has experienced some changes over the years.
Tech Fest started out as a very very developer-centric event. It was mainly for people involved in Microsoft technologies, and Microsoft pulled out of sponsoring, so we broadened the event to include people that are may not be as deeply involved in development, but they may want to be. So we have more beginner-level courses, more courses around design instead of hardcore programming, also entrepreneurship issues instead of development. Those are all core to creating a technology ecosystem, which is, of course, the goal of the event.
Organizers have seen an outpouring of sponsorships from national companies as well as the local community for the latest installment of this conference. Brandon says that has translated into having five times the resources they had during the last Tech Fest. Organizers are also expecting a larger turnout than the 2012 event. As of earlier this week, about 200 people had already registered for the conference. That's about the same number of people who attended the last event. Brandon says the week leading up to the conference is usually the busiest in terms of registration, so he's expecting that number to increase. He says keynote speakers are one of the primary drivers of registration.
We have two great national level keynote speakers. The first one is John Foreman, who is the chief data scientist for MailChimp. If you've ever gotten email newsletters, and almost everyone has, a large portion of those come from MailChimp. So they have tons and tons of big data, and John Foreman is the guy who sifts through that data and makes meaning out of it. The other guy is Jason Seitz, who is the managing director of Techstars Austin. Techstars is the leading worldwide global accelerator, and he runs the Austin program. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the last year, and he's a great guy.
NWA Tech Fest grew out of Tulsa Tech Fest, and the Tech Fest concept has spread across the country. According to the local conference's website, these events are recognized for face-to-face interaction with noted speakers who present useful content in breakout training sessions, as well as networking opportunities. In addition to two keynote speakers, NWA Tech Fest will include eight tracks focused on different subjects like big data and content management. Each of these tracks will feature 50-minute sessions taught by regional and national industry professionals. Besides being the director of this year's conference, Mark Brandon is also the CEO for Stack Search, and he will be leading one of the breakout sessions.
My business is Site Search. Our product is called QBox.io, and it's about taking large data sets and making them searchable, filterable, and fast. In other ways, teasing meaningful insights out of a very large data set. So there's a lot of best practices about how to make that usable, how to make filters or visualizations that distill large data sets into something useful upon which you can make a decision.
Admission is free, but registrants are asked to bring two cans of food or $2. All canned food and proceeds will be donated to the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank. Brandon says they don't want to put a price tag on the event because it limits attendance.
The goal is to have a technology ecosystem. You think about places like Austin or Boulder or the Bay Area or Boston that have these great technology ecosystems. And the one thing they all have in common is that the developer community regularly comes together and collaborates. They talk about what they're building in their work or what they're hacking together in their spare time, and it helps them bring others on board into those projects. And that's a key ingredient to creating a technology ecosystem, and that's what we'd like to be. That's what we'd like the purpose to be for TechFest. So if you're, say, a student at the university and you're a CS major and you're not sure what you're going to do, but you'd like to be introduced into the tech system, tech ecosystem, this is a great event to start it with.
NWA Tech Fest 2014 will take place a week from today on January 31st at the University of Arkansas Global Campus, which is located on the downtown Fayetteville Square. Check-in begins at 8 a.m. The conference, which starts at 9 a.m. and ends around 4:30 in the afternoon, will be followed by an after-party at the Chancellor Hotel. Walk-ins are welcome, but you can register now at nwatechfest.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
If you are a birder, you can go outside and explore, of course. If you are a birder who doesn't necessarily want to spend time in below-freezing temperatures, you can spend some time at the Bentonville Public Library. They'll host several bird-related events in the next few weeks. Tomorrow, a raptor rescue program will be discussed with representatives from Morningstar Wildlife Rehabilitation, and that program includes live birds. Also tomorrow, children can make their own bird feeders. That program is tomorrow, beginning at 2. It's free. And in February, the Bentonville Library will offer programs on the Great Backyard Bird Count, and their story times and craft events will be related to birds as well. For more information, bentonvillelibrary.org.
Have you ever wanted to get paid for organizing a wiffle ball game or dressing up like a backwoods monster? 2014 might be your chance. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals will conduct a job fair for occupations at Arvis Ballpark. There are positions all over the park, from the kids zone to inside the costume of Strike, the team's mascot. Also available, ticket sellers, grounds crew jobs, kitchen staff, ushers, and more. The job fair is Saturday, February 15th from 9 until noon at the ballpark. More information about the job fair can be found at nwanaturals.com.
The Grammy Awards are handed out this weekend, and the award for Best Folk Album of the Year has some interest for our area. One of the nominees, Guy Clark, has played here a few times, including headlining a night at the Fayetteville Roots Festival. Another, Sarah Jarosz, will be coming later this year. The Texas native is currently playing sold-out shows all over Europe, but she'll be part of the OK Mozart Festival in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. She plays on the main stage June 12th. The entire 2014 roster of musicians was announced last night. That list can be found at okmozart.com.
And there are a few chances to see area collegiate teams this weekend. The Arkansas swimming and diving team hosts Rice and Clemson in Fayetteville tomorrow beginning at noon. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith basketball teams host St. Edward's tomorrow. The women play at 1 and the men at 3. And the Arkansas men's basketball team hosts Auburn tomorrow evening at 5 in Bud Walton Arena.
Designer babies, driverless cars, tracking devices on everything and everyone. This is the future, and it's coming fast. So you think that within 5 years, people will be sitting in the passenger seat while their car drives them to work?
And back.
I'm Guy Raz, predicting the future on the next TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Listen Sunday at noon here on 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. The inaugural Ozark Mountain Music Fest, or OsmoMoo, is this weekend inside the Basin Park Hotel in Eureka Springs. Taking to the stage with the likes of Threepenny Acre and the Ben Miller Band will be SX Rex, a band comprised of three brothers. Josh Bauer plays the guitar, mandolin, and sings vocals. His brother Chris is the band's bassist. He also plays the guitar. And the younger brother Nick plays the drums. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas recently talked with the brothers of SX Rex, who were born and partially raised in Colorado. She began by asking if their parents, too, were musicians.
Yeah, our dad is. He would play guitar and keyboard and sing a lot when we were younger. And our mom sings, too, but she's not. She doesn't play any instruments, as far as I know. She played a clarinet in high school, she says, but we don't really believe her.
So she liked music, but
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, so you have played with other bands. It's not just, it's not just brothers.
Yeah. I mean, in Austin, I played with this band called, the first band I played with was called the Transig and the Black Leather Banshees. I answered an ad to play lead guitar for them. And whenever I moved here, I got in a band called Downtown Bound. And that band kind of petered out. Me and another guy started like a two-piece band and started just, messing around. And then Chris moved from Colorado and got on bass and stuff. And he didn't really know how to play bass very much before that, like guitar player for the most part, but...
Yeah, me and Josh grew up like playing together since we were like about like 12. We started playing like Metallica songs together and stuff like that. So it just kind of made sense when I got to town to just jump in and start like creating music together. And we found that Eureka Springs was actually a really, really great area to, play music and get a start kind of in different bars and things like that. They're really supportive. So it's been nice.
What was that like to try to learn to play bass? Was it easy after having played the guitar for so long?
It was an interesting transition at first, but I was really, really excited about it. It was fairly easy because, the tuning is same as a guitar and stuff like that. So yeah, but I wound up really, really liking it.
Yeah, and for me, I played drums since I was in sixth grade. I played with like the school band and stuff, and they had a different drummer at the time, and I was kind of just watching them and thinking, you know, that I could play drums with them if I wanted to, and that would be really cool if we could finish the brotherly triangle. So yeah, I waited for the perfect moment to spring the trap on the other drummer and threw him in a valley and took his spot.
Well, is there ever any sibling rivalry? Do you guys argue because, you know, you're brothers more so than you would with other bandmates?
Yeah, definitely.
I think that certain things are easier, but me and Josh are constantly trying to kill each other, you know, for the last 20 years.
You know, we're kind of in sync naturally in terms of music, but then there's the little things that we hate about each other, and after the show, we'll, like, try to break each other's legs or something. But, you know, afterwards, we'll always be like, man, that was a really great memory.
See you at mom's house.
Yeah, exactly.
We always have a good time playing, for sure.
Well, where does the name SX Rex come from? Do you have a fascination with dinosaurs? Or?
Yeah, definitely. Kind of. I mean,
definitely. I think, you know, part of that is just kind of like, you know, some old-timey, you know, prehistoric kind of sound. You know,
well, I mean, you gotta credit where it originally comes from. The movie Predator, yeah. Jesse Ventura, the governor of Minnesota, in that movie, he's chewing tobacco, and he's trying to get his other men in the helicopter to chew tobacco with him, and they're all saying no, and he says, "What's wrong with you guys? This stuff will turn you into a sexual Tyrannosaurus," and that was the beginning of that. The original name for the band was Sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, we for months after that, I was like, we need to find a serious name. I'd always be like, band meeting, like, we need a name, and like,
we decided to shorten it.
Basically, yeah, that
keep
too.
It simple.
Keep it simple and maybe a little cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like
our mom didn't think that should be on the marquee.
Well, so. Yeah, it was funny being on the marquee at some places. Like you drive by and see it, and I thought it was funny, but. You know, especially once we started trying to book the band seriously and, like, actually, you know, play. A lot of people, like, I'd go into, even here in Fayetteville, I'd walk into bars and be like, here's our CD, and, like, say the name of the band and, like, just kind of be like, get a weird look. And, you know, probably right when we left, the guy's like, and, like, throws it over his shoulder, you know. So I thought the name was funny, but I really wanted to play more than have a funny name.
And right, need a serious name in order to be taken seriously.
Sure.
Right,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, so you mentioned Metallica and Danzig, but when you came into the studio today, you brought a mandolin.
Yeah.
So those two things don't really go together for me. So can you tell me a little bit about the style of music that you play?
I'd say it's a lot of it's like kind of rooted in that Metallica type of the mandolin. I started playing it like 5 years ago and it just has this really old sound to it, you know, but a lot of the stuff we play that's on the mandolin would be older, like folk kind of sounding, maybe Celtic. Some of it's like bluegrass, you know, it's just driven from the mandolin as the inspiration to the music, you know, how the mandolin sounds, you know. But it still has, some of it has like that, you know, still trying to like rock with it at the same time. And also, we're not really set on like, this is the kind of band we are, like, we can't play that. Like,
yeah, we're definitely a multi-genre band. I think that, I mean, we're rooted in hard rock like Metallica. But then we've kind of grown into liking a lot of things. For example, we play a reggae song, kind of a joke country song, and Chris here sings it's a Rage Against the Machine song, but it's kind of a rap, you know. So we play a lot of different things, and I just think it's whatever we feel like we want to do, you know, and that we love, and hopefully other people will like it as well.
Right.
Sure.
I agree with that. Do you find that playing such a mixture it makes it difficult to like book shows? Or when you do book shows, does somebody say, hey, we want you to play a little bit more hard rock, or we'd like a little bit more of that folky?
Yeah, we have got that a couple of times. You know, when we started off, we started learning, you know, we did about, you know, like a quarter of our music was original music, and we were kind of just trying to move towards a, you know, just playing like mostly original stuff. Mm. So, you know, when you play in certain, you know, clubs and bars, you know,
not naming any specifically, but some people kind of lean more towards like the covers of some classical songs and stuff like that, you know. And so that could be like a little irritating, especially when you want to, you know, play some original, play more original music. So you kind of have to be selective of where you want to play as well, you know.
Yeah, I think that a lot of our stuff that we've worked on, and especially this new album that's coming out, a lot of the newer stuff, I mean, I think it's going to go over really well. And
it's kind of a crazy thing, something that people have to adapt to, because, like I said, since we're a multi-genre band, we'll go from playing, you know, kind of a light mandolin song, turn around, plug in the guitar, and play Rage Against the Machine or the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and people really, they'll either like it or they won't, really. So it's fun.
We get a lot of great input, though, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
What percentage of originals do you play now?
I think that this next festival, we'll probably play two cover songs, and that's it.
And then probably 20 originals, or try to aim for that. We only have 2 hours, but we're going to try to fit as many as we can in.
Yeah.
I would say shows, like 3-hour shows, we'll play anywhere from 5 to 7 covers at the most. And then the rest will be originals. It's been a really good transition for us.
Yeah.
We've done what we wanted to do for sure.
Yeah, and this new album we're doing right now is, I mean, a lot of the songs we haven't even played live yet. So we've been working on those, and, you know, that's another, it's going to be about a 10, 11 track album. So I'm really excited about that, to bring that to the live performance and stuff too. I think that they're going to go over really well. Like, we have one that's kind of like a gypsy type of song, and I really like that kind of music, so. And some of them are more bluegrass.
Yeah. Adding more genres to the arsenal.
But this album is going to be mostly mandolin based songs, sure, too.
All right. Well, anything else before you guys play some songs for me?
Nothing else. But if you hear this and you'd like to come see us at the Basin, come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun.
For sure.
Well, this is Josh Bauer from SX Rex. This next song is about where we're all from. Conifer, Colorado. So this song's called Conifer. Thank you.
Great, thank you. What part of Colorado is Conifer?
Mountains. Yeah. It's we all kind of grew up in the mountains. Conifer is about 45 minutes southwest of Denver. And when we lived there when we were kids, it was basically a grocery store and a hot dog stand and a bank. It wasn't really that much more than that.
Post office?
Yeah, a lot of snow.
Yeah, we didn't get mail there.
We were pretty sure.
No one got their mail.
Do you guys want to do one more?
Yeah. We'd love to, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the first song I wrote on the mandolin. It's going to be on our next album. It's called 1879.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was an honor for sure.
Josh, Chris, and Nick Bauer are SX Rex. The brothers recently spoke with Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They will perform in the ballroom inside the Basin Park Hotel at 6 o'clock Saturday night as part of the Ozark Mountain Music Festival. Their first album, White Light, is available on Spotify. For more information, you can visit facebook.com/SXRexBand or just go to sxrex.com.
This Week in This American Life. A storage container filled with somebody else's stuff. Can't go inside or touch it.
Oh my God. It's back there.
It looks empty.
No, there's someone living back there.
But you can look and bid on what you think it's worth.
There's so much hair. There's a head in there.
There's a shrunken head right there.
What it's like to actually make a living doing this. Guessing. This Week.
Listen to This American Life Sunday at 10 a.m. on KUAF.
Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Devil's Den.
Are you headed there this weekend, right?
I am headed there this weekend because I thought it'd be great since it's going to be in the 20s with winds of 35 miles per hour to be there.
I mean, it's a fun experience. I've done colder, if that makes you feel any better.
I have too.
So there you go.
Right, right. And I think it'll be an interesting time to see Devil's Den.
Yeah, for sure.
Good hiking on. That's perfect. Saturday will be perfect hiking weather.
Saturday will be good hiking weather.
Yes.
So that sounds like fun.
Oh, I think it will be a lot of fun.
I like it.
Devil's Den. It's not an under. Well, I don't know if it's over or underappreciated, but I don't go there as much as I would like. Once you get there, you think, my goodness, why am I not here all the time?
Right.
Yeah. So any plans for you this weekend?
Yes.
That was so mysterious.
Well, no, not mysterious. I just have many things, maybe not set times. I plan on doing all of these things, not in this order, and we'll see if they happen.
Okay.
But I plan on going to the Walk a Mile in My Shoes shopping event for Ozark Guidance at Arvest Ballpark. Hoping to do that when I get off work today.
Okay. And you could do it tomorrow, too.
I could, but I want to do it today.
Okay. All right.
And then I plan on going, I think, tonight to the hockey game, the University of Arkansas hockey game at Jones Center in Springdale.
8:30 tonight.
8:30 tonight.
4 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern Illinois University.
Yes, I had my times mixed up because I was thinking I'd go tomorrow, but I think we're going to go tonight. I've been meaning to go to a game. I plan on going to Le Chocolat Feast tomorrow because, again, never been, which is ridiculous.
Okay.
And probably some other things along the way that are still up in the air, but those are the three things for sure that, like, I'm going to do.
All right. Shoes, hockey, chocolate.
Yeah.
That's not a bad combo. Not
I
at all.
I know.
All right. We'll expect a full report.
Okay.
Christina and I will be together Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to make her work all by herself Monday. She'll have a brand new edition.
It is her turn, yes.
And then you and I back together. That's when I want the full report about
when you want the full report. Okay.
Chocolate and shoes.
And probably other things along the way, I'm
sure.
Oh,
of course.
Oh, I didn't tell you about dancing last night. Went to the company Kafig at Waltner Center for the 10x10 Art Series. I like the second half better than the first half. I think that's usually how I am with dance. Like, there's about half I don't get as far as the metaphorical whatever, but mm-hmm. the, like, physicalness, and if I can get a story out of it, I like that better. So I'm usually about half and half, so I feel good liking the second half.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs
overall.
Up.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thumbs up overall.
Very good. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Yasmin Krajeda.
Thanks for listening.